Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Radio Days. This is your host, John Hagedorn. Here we feature mostly cop and detective shows, plus adventure, plus surprise. You never know, but it's the best from the golden age of radio. We'll guarantee that. For those of you who want non-stop crime buster and detective shows, you can now add 1001 Radio Crime Solvers to your podcast library. That's 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. Brand new for 2023 and growing fast. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to auto theft detail. You receive a report that a circus truck has been broken into. Several of the animals are missing. Some of them are dangerous. Your job, find them.
It was Monday, May 12th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of auto theft detail. My partner's Frank Smith, the boss of Chief of Detectives Thad Brown. My name's Friday. I was on my way back for Superior Court, and it was 11:46 a.m. when I got to room 40. Auto theft.
Hi. How'd it go?
Well, his lawyer's got a continuance.
Yeah, how come?
I don't know. New evidence they want to introduce.
What's the DA's office say?
Well, there's nothing they can say. It comes under the heading of due process, you know.
Yeah. You think you're going to nail him?
Alex thinks so. The guy's admitted his guilt. Now he's claiming the confession is a lot of bunk. Says we got it out of him by force.
Where now?
Prove he did it without the confession, I guess. Shouldn't be too hard. We got all the evidence. We get the chance to lay it out for the jury.
Yeah. When do you go back?
Let's see. Set it off for a week, I guess, yeah. Anything come in?
No, not big.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir? Something we can do for you?
Might report something stolen.
All right, sir. Just come on in.
Sure get service around here.
All right, sir. Now, what kind of a car was it?
Ain't no car.
Beg pardon?
No car stolen. Stuff in the car.
All right. What was it?
Well, it wasn't really a car anyway. A truck. That's what they stole it from, a truck.
All right, if you'll give us a description.
As far as I know, they might not have stolen it anyway. Might just open it and let them all out.
Yes, sir. Well, the sooner we get this report filled out, the faster we can start looking for the stolen merchandise.
Yeah. Just thought of that myself. Should have.
All right, sir. Now, what's your name?
Clarence Havill. H-A-V-I-L-L. No R. Most people put a R in it. Havill. It ain't. It's Havill.
Where'd the theft take place?
Corner Fountain de Longpre. Right on the corner there. Just south of the red zone on Fountain.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. What was taken?
You see, I got this call from one of the drivers who works for my brother and me. Drives one of our trucks. Called and said the machine broke down. Wanted me to bring another tractor over.
Well, we can get to all that later, Mr. Havill. Now, what were the stolen articles?
Animals.
Sir?
Animals from our carnival.
What kind of animals?
Oh, a couple of monkeys. Cody Mundy. Two raccoons.
All right, sir. Anything else?
Yeah, here comes the bad part. This is what I was afraid of.
What's that, sir?
It's the reason I waited so long to report it. I thought maybe he'd turn up.
What's that, sir?
A black panther.
We got a description of the animals, and the local broadcast was gotten out on them immediately. 12:18 p.m. We continued to talk to Clarence Havill.
Friday night. That's when it happened.
What time Friday night?
About 7:05 or 7:10, right after the fights went on. That's when the phone rang.
I see.
I was kind of sore about being interrupted when the fights is on. Always watch them. Most of my friends know not to call me then.
Yes, sir.
Well, anyways, the phone rang. I got up and went over to answer it. It was Bert.
Who was Bert?
Bert Newell. He's a driver.
Oh, I see.
Said he had a breakdown at Fountain de Longpre. Asked me if I had an extra tractor. Happens I did.
Uh-huh.
Bert asked me to bring it over. Said he wanted to use it to get the show to Nevada.
So you drove over then, huh?
Not right away.
How's that?
Well, it looked like the fight wasn't going to last much longer, and I wanted to see the finish of it. So I stuck around for a couple more rounds. After that, I left.
Uh-huh.
Drove over and found Bert right on the corner, just standing there, not trying to do nothing about the breakdown, just standing there.
Yes, sir.
Well, you just bet I read him off. Told him the least he could have done was get out of a wrench or something, tried to find the trouble. I read him off good.
Yes, sir.
Didn't do no good. He's shiftless, you know. Real shiftless.
Yes, sir.
You know Bert, do you?
No, sir.
Shiftless. You know him, you'd know that.
You want to go on, please?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, we got the trailer on a hitch and the tractor hooked up. Only took a couple of minutes and got it done, and Bert took off.
Where was he going, you know?
Over to Nevada. Gonna play a show there. Overton. Gonna play a show there.
Yes, sir.
Right by Lake Mead, Overton.
Yes, sir. When did you find out the animals were missing?
When I got the wire from my brother. That's when I got the first inkling.
When was that?
Last night. Company phoned me about, I guess it was about 8:30.
I see. You have the telegram?
No, I told you they phoned it.
What did it say?
Just the animals are gone, from my brother. Said that the animals weren't on the truck when it got to Overton. Told me about how the locks on a couple of the cages was busted and smashed and the animals was gone.
Well, now, sir, is it possible that the cages might have been broken into some other place than Los Angeles?
Might be, yes, might be. Ain't likely.
Well, why'd he say that?
Only reason I know of, because it ain't likely. Not only that, I got proof of it.
How do you mean, sir?
Well, as soon as I got the wire, I went down to Fountain de Longcree. Went right there and looked around. Figured I might as well go down there and look around. I might find something, you know. Took a big four-cell flash, went down the corner. Yeah, I was right. That's where it happened. Yeah, that's where they got away. Found the spoor, you know.
I beg your pardon?
Spoor. Tracks. Found them all over the place.
Oh, I see. Of the panther?
No, raccoons.
Oh, I see.
Not only that, I found something else.
Yes, sir?
Monkeys. Found them, too.
Well, where were they?
Phone pole, right up on the top, just sitting there shivering. They kind of litter, you know. Get real cold easy. We have them around the place. They wear little sweaters. Get chilly real easy.
How about the rest of the animals? You see any sign of them?
No, I went over to a little store near there and got a head of lettuce. 17 cents. Took it back to the phone pole, showed it to Caesar and Salome. Oh, they love lettuce.
Is that the monkeys?
Yeah, marmosets, white-eared. Love lettuce.
They came right down then, did they?
Yeah, right down the pole. Slithered right for the lettuce. And they were scared stiff, being up there on that pole all night. Should have had their sweaters.
What about the other animals?
Not a sign of them. Just the spoor of the raccoons. Haven't got the slightest idea where they might have gone. No real problem, no, not them.
How do you mean?
Easy to replace. Oh. Just go up in the Hollywood Hills, lots of them there. Run all over the place, upsetting garbage cans. Imagine some of the people would be glad to have me come up there and take them away. Yeah, raccoons ain't no problem.
Well, Mr. Havel, what about the panther?
Well, he's a problem.
Yes, sir. Can you give us a description of the animal?
Yeah, he's black.
Yes, sir.
Like the inside of a well, jet black. Even blacker than that ink they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
About 7 feet long. Oh, easy, that.
Yes, sir.
That's counting the tail. 7 feet.
Anything else about him that we should know?
No, just a plain black panther. Nothing special.
Is he dangerous?
Well, not unless he meets somebody. Dandy's got a temper.
That's the name of the animal, is it, Dandy?
Yeah. Naming that because he's blacker than the pitch of the inferno. Dandy.
You're pretty sure he got out of that truck when the monkeys did, huh?
Well, I ain't going to give you no written guarantee, but I'm sure of it.
All right, sir. We'll start looking for him right away.
Well, Mr. Havel, where were these animals coming from?
Winter quarters. The standard Overton is going to be our first, just starting the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you can tell us that'll make it easier to find the panther?
No, not a thing. Just be careful, that's all. Don't hurt him. He's really as gentle as a kitten when you get to know him, like a big overgrown cat. Gentle.
Yes, sir.
That's something Clyde didn't understand.
Who's Clyde, sir?
My brother, Clyde.
Oh, I see.
He didn't like Dandy. Didn't understand him. That's what caused the trouble.
What was that?
Last winter, Clyde came to see the show, tell me about the bookings.
Yes, sir.
We discussed about how the best way to exhibit Dandy would be, and Clyde got too close to the cage.
Yeah.
Dandy almost killed him.
All officers in the area where the panther had escaped were notified, and an additional team of men were called from Metropolitan Reserves to patrol the vicinity. The presence of the animal on city streets presented a very real menace to all citizens in the city. A team of detectives from Auto Theft Detail were dispatched to the corner of Fountain and DeLongpre to talk to the people who lived in the area. However, they were unable to come up with any new information on the escaped panther. Frank and I talked to Chief of Detectives Thad Brown and with Captain Nelson. It was decided to start a block-by-block search for the missing cat. Authorities from the Griffith Park Zoo were consulted as to the possible hiding places of the animal. When the afternoon newspapers hit the streets, calls began to flood the complaint board asking for additional information on the Panther. Local radio and television broadcasts carried stories about the escape, and the number of calls went up. Additional men had to be called to care for the switchboard. The search went on. Frank and I worked in the field along with the other men from Auto Theft Detail and officers from Metro Division. Every possible hiding place in the vicinity of Fountain and DeLongpre was searched without turning up any new information on the cat. It was the opinion of authorities that the Panther might try to hide in the brush of the Hollywood Hills, and the search was moved to that vicinity. Tuesday, May 12th, Frank and I got back to the office from the area. We'd been up all night looking for the animal.
You want to check with the skipper?
Anybody around who can bring in some coffee?
I'll call Sal. He'll bring some over.
That'll be a good idea. Ask him to send over a sandwich, too.
Yeah, what kind you want?
I don't care. Just tell him to make sure the coffee's hot.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to talk to the men who are working on the Panther thing.
Yes, sir. Come right in.
If you're at the end of the hall, I'd find him here.
Well, I'm Sergeant Friday. Maybe I can help you.
You working with the search party?
Yes, sir. My partner and I have been out with them.
Have they caught it yet?
No, sir, not yet.
They know where it is?
Coffee.
Well, no, sir, we don't.
Coffee. That's what I thought. I'm Sidney Norton. I live in this town.
Yes, sir.
Got a family. I pay taxes. Just want to ask one question.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Now, according to papers, it's Havel or whatever his name is. He owns the Panther. Is that right?
His name's Clarence Havel.
But he owns the cat.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Well, I want his address.
Beg your pardon?
I want the number of his house. That's simple, isn't it?
Well, we're not allowed to give that out. I'm sorry.
All I want is his address so I can go over there and punch him right in the nose. You going to give it to me?
No, sir.
Who's your superior?
Captain Nelson.
Well, where is he? I want to talk to him.
He's in Chief Brown's office right now.
Well, where's that?
Down at the end of the hall, office number 26.
All right, I'll talk to him. I want that man's address, and I want it now. Terrible thing for the law to allow a person to keep animals like that so they can get away and walk around killing anybody they meet. And if you cops can't do anything about it, I can. You can just bet I can.
Well, if you go out and cause Mr. Havel any trouble, you're liable for arrest, sir.
By whom?
Any policeman that he wants to call.
Well, you protect him, but you don't care about me and my family, is that it?
No, sir. You've both got rights of protection under the law. Now, if Havel's done anything, we'll take care of it.
When?
As soon as we find that Panther.
Well, you may just be wrong. I've been talking around. There are a lot of people who feel like I do, a lot of them. Enough, maybe, to decide to do things our way.
Well, I wouldn't try it, Mr. Norton.
Too late, mister. You can't do anything about it. We will. Me and my friends, we'll take care of it. It's out of your hands. We'll take care of Havel. Take care of him good.
I wouldn't make book on that.
Who's going to stop us?
Like I told you, any cop that Havel calls. Frank and I talked to Sidney Norton, and we finally convinced him that any action he might take would not help the situation. We sent him home, and then we met with Captain Nelson and Chief Brown. The progress of the search was reviewed, and it was decided to continue it in the Lake Hollywood area and in the upper Griffith Park Hills. All days off had been canceled, and additional officers were joining in the hunt for the Panther. After the meeting, Frank and I got some breakfast, and then we drove out to Clarence Havel's home. It was a large ranch house at the corner of Victory Boulevard and Monterey Avenue out in the San Fernando Valley. We drove through the gate and parked the car. Clarence Havel was sitting on the large porch waiting for us. A small monkey was sitting on his shoulder.
Hi, come on up and sit down.
Yes, sir.
How's it going, Mr. Friday? Mr. Smith?
All right, sir.
Pretty good, sir.
Get you anything? Glass of ginger beer, maybe? Got some cold in the icebox?
No, sir, no thanks.
Heard from my brother this morning.
All right.
Mm-hmm. In Nevada. Got a telegram. Company phoned it to me again. Good news.
What's that, sir?
Well, beginning to look like it's all a mistake.
Sir?
The whole thing. Looks like the animals didn't get away here in Los Angeles.
Why do you say that?
Well, a telegram from my brother. Says they found the Cody Mundy and one of the raccoons in Baker, California. Found them alongside the road. Tired and hungry. Guess they're sorry now they got out of the truck.
Well, how about the Panther? Any word on him?
No, not yet, but Clyde set some men out to look for it. Sure, Dandy will turn up.
How can we get in touch with your brother, Havel?
Can't.
What?
Can't get in touch with him. Out in the desert looking for Dandy. Out of touch.
Can you give us the address of your winter quarters here in town?
I can't do that, Mr. Friday.
Why not?
You don't know him.
Well, sir, you run a circus and you don't know where the animals are kept?
Well, not really a circus, a carnival.
Yes, sir, we understand, but what's the address?
I don't know.
You haven't any idea?
Not the least.
And you can't tell us where to reach your brother?
He's out looking for Dandy.
Well, how about it, Havel? Something that you're not telling us? Havel?
Yeah?
Well, is there?
We haven't got no regular winter quarters. Not regular set up. That's why I can't tell you where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't none.
All right, go ahead.
You see, the Havel Amalgamated Combined Shows is really a gypsy carnival.
How do you mean that?
Well, we ain't got no big operation. A couple of mangy animals. We don't have a license to keep them in the city. Only quarters we got are vacant lots. We set up and stay there until a neighbor starts complaining, and we move on. Trucks for the show are registered in states where the fee is smallest, and we got about every deal we could to keep the cost of operation down.
Now, what about the Panther?
Andy?
Yes, sir.
Only real attraction we got. Man killer. I told you about how I almost got Clyde, didn't I? I told you that.
Yes, sir.
Gotta understand, Andy, or nothing works with him.
Is that right?
Might be something about Andy.
Could be our officer. We gave him this number.
Yeah, yeah, just a minute. Hello? Yeah, this is number. Huh? Yeah, just a minute. It's for you, Mr. Patty, your office.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No trouble at all. Like to do what I can.
Yes, sir. Friday. Yes, Skipper. That's right. Well, you want to give me that address? Well, it checked out, did it? Uh-huh. No, we'll get right over. Frank, let's go.
Good news?
Well, we're not sure yet.
Huh?
They said they found the Panther. The address we'd gotten on the telephone was in the Hollywood Hills just off Beechwood Drive. Frank and I drove down the freeway, turned off at Gower, up Franklin to Beechwood, and we continued up to Ledgewood Drive. By the time we got there, other units had arrived in the immediate vicinity where the animal had been seen was surrounded. From one of the officers, we got the story. The Panther had been seen by one of the civilians searching the area. The animal had run between two houses and jumped through a window into a ground floor garage. We checked the house, but we found that the occupants were not there. Because of the danger of the Panther's presence and the difficulty of taking it alive, it was decided to try to shoot it. The officers involved in the search were armed with large caliber weapons. Frank and I took two sawed-off shotguns, and we approached the door leading to the garage.
Who's covering the window?
Mac. All right. I'll hit the door. Stand back. We'll try to see what's inside.
Okay. I can't see anything from the window.
No. Might be behind those boxes at the rear there.
Yeah.
You all set?
Yep. Behind the cases. Looks like something there.
All right, you take that sign.
Right.
Take it easy.
Sure. You don't have to spell it.
All right, Frank. Right from where you are, can you tip those boxes over there?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's try it. Maybe it'll drive them out in the open. For the Black Panther. During the 20-odd hours we'd been looking for the animal, there'd been several reports that seemed authentic enough to be checked out. All of them turned out to be false. By this time, there were over 300 officers engaged in the search. Frank and I went back to the office and put in a call to the telegraph company in an effort to find Clyde Havel. They checked through their files, but they were unable to find any record of any wires. We then put in a call to the California-Nevada border station in an attempt to get information.
Yes, sir, that's right. Havel Amalgamated Combined Shows.
What?
A, V Victor, I, L, L. Havel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we got, it should have come through Saturday the 13th. No, it might have been Sunday the 14th. You pretty sure about that, are you? Was it possible? All right, I understand. Okay, thank you. If anything turns up, will you call us? Friday, extension 2507. That's auto theft detail. Right. Thanks again. Bye.
How about it? They got a record of the show going through?
They never heard of it. We immediately put in a call to the authorities in Baker, California. We talked with members of the State Highway Patrol, and from them we obtained the information that there had been no stray animals captured in the vicinity during the past few days. The conversation with them lengthened the possibility that the story we'd gotten from Clarence Havel was a lie. We checked his house, but Havel wasn't there. From his neighbors, we obtained the name of his sister. 6:10 p.m. We drove out to the address, a two-family stucco duplex. We rang the bell and we waited.
Yes?
Miss Havel?
That's right. What is it you want?
The police officers. Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
Hello.
How do you do, ma'am?
What is it you want?
We'd like to talk to you about your brother.
Clyde?
No, ma'am. Clarence.
Mr. Friday, I've done what I can for him. If he's in trouble again, he's just going to have to go it alone.
What if we could talk inside?
Well, come on in.
Thank you very much.
What's he done this time?
Beg your pardon?
What's my brother done this time?
Does your brother own a circus?
Is this a joke?
No, ma'am. It's pretty serious, does he?
Sure. Big one. Have those amalgamated and combined shows. Travels all over the country. Animals, concessions. Even got a man-eating black panther.
Yes, ma'am. That's one of the things we want to find out about.
Dandy?
You know the animal, do you?
Oh, Clarence's friends do. Talks about him all the time.
You know where the circus is right now?
Same place it's always been.
Ma'am?
Never been any place else.
Yeah.
In Clarence's head.
We continued to talk to Lillian Havel. From her, we got the background of the story. She told us that her brother had been a press agent for one of the larger carnivals, but that he'd been discharged several years before. Since that time, he talked of very little else but the day when he'd be able to start his own show starring Dandy, the man-killing Black Panther. She went on to tell us that he spent most of his time in the hills of the San Fernando Valley trapping small animals, preparing for the first tour of the carnival. We called the office and notified them. The search for the Black Panther was called off. 8:46 p.m., we left the duplex and we drove out the freeway to the valley. When we got to Havel's, he was sitting on the front porch reading. The monkey was still on his shoulder.
Hey, come back, huh?
Yes, sir.
Found Andy yet? Sure hope you come up with him. I hate to lose the main attraction. Ain't had any word of him yet, huh?
No.
He's a sly one, old Dandy. Sly. He knows if you find him, he'll go back in the cage. You just keep looking, though. He'll turn up.
Search has been called off, Havel.
Called off?
That's right.
You mean you quit looking?
That's right.
Well, you can't do that. You can't. Dangerous animal like that loose in the city, all the people in dire danger. You can't call off the posse.
Why don't you tell us about it?
What do you mean?
All right, Havel. Tell us why you did it.
Huh?
Why'd you report the panther being gone?
Of course, she was. Wanted to save all the people from dire danger.
Why don't you tell us the truth?
Huh?
We've checked your story. It's a pack of lies. You know it.
Now, just a minute. Ain't no man that says I tell lies. No man.
You say you got two telegrams from your brother. Is that right?
Yeah, from Clyde.
Well, we checked with the telegraph company. They've got no record of any such messages.
Hey, it's a big company. They might have lost them.
No, I don't think they lost them.
Might have.
You told us the carnival truck went into Nevada, didn't you? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we checked at the border. They don't know anything about the show.
Well, a lot of roads into Nevada. Maybe you called the wrong station.
Well, we talked to the right one.
Big truck, red and yellow. Havel's combined amalgamated shows. Letters about this big on the side. Yellow letters got a picture of Dandy on the side. Mean, you can almost count his teeth.
You told us the truck was registered in your name. DMV has no record of it.
Well, must be some mistake. It's got to be wrong.
We talked to your sister. She tells you don't have any kind of a show.
Lillian said that?
That's what she said.
You hear it too?
Yes, sir.
Lillian told you I didn't have no show? Lillian told you that?
Why don't you get your coat, Hal?
Huh?
A little cold out tonight. You might need a coat.
We going someplace?
Yes, sir. We're going to have to take you downtown.
Why?
Well, you had half the city on a wild goose chase here. Caused a lot of people, a lot of work. Turns out there was no reason for it. We're trying to find out why you did it.
Why?
Yes, sir.
You ever wanted anything bad, Sergeant?
What?
You ever wanted something so bad you'd almost taste it? Get to a point where you think about it so much, pretty soon it don't come over like a dream anymore. It's real. Honest and true real. You ever want anything like that?
I wouldn't know.
Well, that's the way it was with Havel's amalgamated combined shows. That's the way it was. I was weaned on sawdust. Been around it all my life. The animals, sideshows, the alley, all of it. Been my whole life. When I left it, it just seemed like I jumped into a big hole that didn't have no bottom. It wasn't anything to hang on to. Nothing to tie down to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Always I had in the back of my head that I could do it again. I was a good publicity man. Good. Used to pack the main. Never no trouble getting the people in when I was there. When I left, I knew I'd be back. I knew it with my own show. Havel's amalgamated combined shows, the biggest in the world. I guess I just got so I believed it too much and lost the line between what's real and what I was dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Knew it this morning when you was out here. Remembered and tried to stop you from going on with it. tried, and then there was that phone call where they'd found Daddy. Didn't seem right to stop things then. Just it didn't seem right.
All right. You want to get your coat?
Yeah. Are you going to take me downtown in the police car?
That's right.
Going to use a siren?
For what, sir?
Siren.
There's no reason for any siren.
Suppose not. Used to have sirens when I come to town. Me and the chief of police ride down the street. Siren going. Everybody knew I was in town. Big to-do. Everybody knew I was there. Things have sure changed.
Not very much.
Yeah, things have changed. People used to know I was in town.
They still do.
Clarence Neil Havel was held over for a sanity hearing in Superior Court. On recommendation of the court, appropriate action was taken.
Dragnet, the story of your police force in action, is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a robbery detail. A special officer has been shot during a routine patrol. His assailants have escaped into the city. There's no lead to their whereabouts. Your job, find them.
It was Saturday, May 21st. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Chief of Detectives Thad Brown. My name's Fidey. We were on our way back from the scene, and it was 10:56 p.m. when we got to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital. Treatment room.
That you, Doctor?
No, ma'am. Police officers. Doctor said we could ask you some questions.
About the robbery?
Yes, ma'am. It's my partner, Frank Smith. My name's Fidey.
Hello, Ms. Montgomery.
You heard anything about Keith? Is he all right?
Well, the doctor's still with him.
Is he going to be all right?
We better talk to the doctor about that, I think.
He tried to stop the man from robbing us. Tried to throw him out of the store.
Yes, ma'am. Now, can you tell us what happened?
Well, I guess so, if the doctor said I could.
Well, anytime you don't feel like going on, just tell us, please.
All right.
What time did the man come into the store?
About 9:30, right around in there.
Yeah.
Keith and me were sitting in the back room playing cribbage. We usually play a couple of games before we close up, especially when business is kind of slow.
Uh-huh.
These two men came in. Keith went out to wait on them.
Did you go with him?
No, wasn't any reason to. Just two customers, no reason for me to go out. Looked like they came in together.
You could see them from where you were, huh?
Oh, yes. We had the card table set up right in the doorway of the back room.
All right, ma'am, so I could go on?
Well, Keith went out and asked them what they wanted.
Yeah.
One of them said he wanted a bottle of vodka. Keith asked him what kind, and the man said it didn't make any difference, said he wanted 100 proof, though.
Uh-huh.
Keith got the bottle off the shelf and came back. Told the man how much the bottle was, and that's when the other man pulled out the knife.
You say the second man drew the knife, huh?
That's right. Short fellow. Had this kind of knife with a spring blade where you push a button and the blade snaps out, you know how?
Yes, ma'am.
Did the men know you were in the back room?
They must have. All he had to do was look through the door and they'd have seen me. I wasn't trying to hide.
All right. Feel like going on?
Yes. The doctor gave me some kind of pill. It makes me a little numb, but I feel all right.
All right. Could you please go ahead? Now, what happened after they pulled this knife?
Well, the short one told Keith to give him the money. Said it was a holdup.
Could you remember his exact words?
Oh, I don't know. Seems he said, "All right, old man, this is a stick-up. Put all the money in the register in a paper bag and don't cause any trouble." That's as near as I can remember. That's what he said.
All right, what happened then?
Well, Keith told him to get out of the store. Said the two of them were too young to get mixed up in that kind of foolishness. Told him to get right out.
Yeah.
Little fella, the short one with the knife, grabbed Keith and told him they weren't playing games, but if he knew what was good for him, he'd do like he was told. had the knife right at his chest. I thought he was going to cut Keith.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I came out of the back room when I thought they were going to hurt Keith.
All right. You go on, please.
Yes. I want to get this over and tell you what you need to know so you can catch the fellas.
All right, ma'am. What happened when you came into the store?
Well, I tried to get the men out of the place, told them that if they knew what was good for them, they'd leave right then.
Uh-huh.
Might as well have been talking to a wall. They didn't pay any attention to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's when I tried to get to the phone. I wanted to call the police.
What was your husband doing at this time?
Standing there trying to keep from moving into the knife. This short little fellow had it pressed right against his chest. Had the point right here. Keith made any kind of a move, he'd have been stabbed. When they saw me go to the phone, the tall one grabbed me and hit me with his fist closed. He hit me about as hard as he could. As soon as he did that, Keith seemed to go crazy. Wrenched himself away from the one with the knife and jumped on the tall man, fought him as hard as he could.
Yeah.
Terrible the way it happened.
Yes, ma'am.
The tall man hit Keith along the neck with the edge of his hand and knocked my husband down. Then the little fellow jumped on him. Held his knife right at his throat and told him to take the money and put it in a bag. That he didn't want any more trouble or he'd kill us both. All the time he had the knife right here at Keith's throat.
Yes, ma'am. Your husband did what they said?
That's right. He opened the register and gave him the money, put it in a paper bag. I thought they'd leave after that, but they didn't. Only made him madder.
Why was that, do you know?
It wasn't enough money, only about $30 or $35. They said we had more in the back room and they wanted that too. Said for us to get it or they'd kill us.
Well, did you get it for them?
Yes. I went back and took it out from where we hid it. Handed it right over.
Mm-hmm.
What'd the doctor say about Keith? He must have said something.
Frank, would you check with Dr. Sebastian and see what's going on in there?
Yeah, I will.
Would you go on, please?
After they got the other money, the two men left the store. Put the cash in the paper bag and walked out. Said for me to stay still for 5 minutes or they'd come back and kill Keith and me.
Mm-hmm. When did the special officer come into the store?
We didn't.
Ma'am?
He drove up when we were arguing with the men on the sidewalk, and after they left the store, Keith got up and ran after them, tried to hold him.
Well, did the officer know what was going on?
No, not at first. He thought it was just an argument. When he walked up, Keith tried to tell him that the store was being robbed, but the tall robber said it was just a personal fight, said it didn't concern anybody else but Keith and him.
Were you on the sidewalk at the time?
Yes, right beside Keith.
I see.
Robber said that Keith was just an old crackpot trying to cause trouble, that the officer should forget about it.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't sound very good to him because he said it'd be better if Keith and the men talked to a policeman. That's when the tall hold-up man grabbed the gun and shot.
At the officer?
Yes. Grabbed the gun out of his holster and shot him in the stomach.
What happened then?
The smaller of the two stabbed Keith a couple of times, and both of them ran down the street.
Did you see where they went?
Yes. They got into a car that was parked about a half a block away. Jumped into the car and left.
All right, Ms. Montgomery, just a couple more questions now. Did either of the two men use a name at any time?
What do you mean?
Well, when they were talking to each other, did they use a name of any kind? Do you remember?
Yes. When they shot the officer, the big one, he did the shooting. He said, "Come on, Hank, let's get out of here." Like that, he said it.
I see. Now, was there anything outstanding about the two men that you can remember? Anything that would make them easier for us to identify?
Oh, I can't think of anything right off. Just that one was tall and the other one was short. That's all I can think of.
About how tall, do you remember?
The big one?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, over 6 feet. I'd say he was about 6'3", maybe even more.
Mm-hmm. Did he have any special marks or scars that you can recall?
No, no, nothing like that.
Now, how about the short one? Anything to make it easier for us to identify him?
Just his fingernails.
How do you mean?
They looked like he'd never cleaned them. Real long and dirty, I remember that.
Was there anything else?
No.
Did either of them speak with any kind of an accent, would you remember?
No. Sounded just like anybody else. Nothing special about him.
I see.
Joe?
Yeah, Frank?
See you in a minute.
Yes.
Did you find out about Keith? Did you talk to the doctor?
He'll be right in to see you, Miss Montgomery.
Is Keith going to be all right? Why don't you tell me what's happened?
Try to take it easy, ma'am. The doctor will be right in.
All right, but time to hurry, please, please.
Yes, we'll do that. Did you call county?
Yeah. They're operating on Holman.
How's he doing?
Well, as soon as they get the bullet out, he should make it. Wound's not serious.
What about Keith Montgomery?
He just died. Knife wound.
The story we'd gotten from Irene Montgomery was pretty much the same as Special Officer Kenneth Holman had given us. Immediately after the robbery, a local and an APB had gone out on the suspects. In canvassing the neighborhood, the investigating officers had found two eyewitnesses to the shooting stabbing. A man and a woman had been parked in an automobile directly across the street from the Montgomery store. They'd been able to give us a description of the car that the suspects had driven away from the scene, along with the last three numbers on the license plate. While Frank and I had been talking to Mrs. Montgomery, officers Benson and Herman from robbery detail had been going through the Department of Motor Vehicle Records looking for the owner's name. Information on the method of operation used in the crime was sent to the stats office and the run was started. The moniker file at R&I was checked for a suspect with a nickname Hank, who matched the description of the smaller thief. The two eyewitnesses were brought into the city hall to go through the mug books for a possible identification. While Frank went to the office to check with Benson and Herman, I worked with the witnesses.
No, this page.
How about here?
No, I don't see him here either.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute. This fella here, see?
This one?
Yeah, it's not the hold-up man, but he's got the same kind of ears. Close to his head like... Yeah, same kind of ears.
You're sure it's not the man, though?
Uh-uh. This got ears like him.
All right, Mr. Steele, would you go on, please, here?
I remember those ears. I used to go to school with a kid that had ears like that. Junior high school.
Yes, sir.
He's a mean kid. I'll never forget him. He's real mean. Don't guess I thought of him for at least 15 years. Never forget him, though. Mean?
Yes, sir.
He waited for me after school once. I had a big fight. I don't even know what it was about. Big fight. Really beat me up.
Yes, sir.
Sure like to meet him now. It'd be a different story.
Yes, sir. Now, how about right here? Do you see either of the suspects on these pages?
No. No picture in this book. You got another one?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Say, how many more got of these things, anyhow?
Quite a few. You can see them right here on the shelves.
You want me to go through all of them?
Well, we'd like to have you check the pictures, yes, sir.
That's going to take a while.
You and your wife are the only two people who can give us an identification.
Well, how about the woman who was held up? What's her name, Mrs. Holman?
No, Montgomery. Holman was the officer who was shot.
Yeah. What about Mrs. Montgomery? Can't she tell you about the robbers?
She's under the care of her doctor. Her husband died, you know.
What, from being stabbed?
Yes, sir, that's right.
That's too bad. We didn't know what it was all about, you know?
Yes, sir.
Me and Harry are just sitting there. All of a sudden, there's this fight and a shot. We didn't know what the freaks was.
Yes, sir. I wonder if we can go on with the books here.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how about right here?
No. No, not here.
All right.
Mm-mm. Say, he's mean. What'd he do?
Robbery.
Yeah, you can tell. Look at the face. You can always tell.
Yes, sir.
No, I don't see him here. Perry.
Sir?
Perry Nicholson. That's the guy's name. One with the close ears. I remember it now. Haven't thought of him. 15 years. Perry Nicholson. Bully.
Yes, sir.
Sure like to meet old Perry now. It'd be a different story if he wanted to fight now. Oh, different story.
Yes, sir.
Joe.
Yeah?
The hold-up car.
Yeah.
They just found it abandoned.
Two officers in a radio unit had found the car in a parking lot at the corner of Rosemont Avenue and Waterloo. When the vehicle was discovered and the similarity to the description that had been broadcast was noticed, the car was put under surveillance and our office had been notified. Frank and I left the city hall and drove out to the parking lot immediately. The car was placed under surveillance again, and we checked it through DMV. We found the car was owned by an Edwin Vargas, 1879 Moss Street out in Burbank. We checked the name through R&I, but we found that he had no criminal record in our file. We drove out to see Vargas. While Frank covered the rear of the place, I rang the bell of the house and waited.
Yeah?
Like to see Mr. Vargas?
Well, he's not in right now. Anything I can do?
You know where he is?
No, I imagine he got held up downtown, probably working late.
I wonder if it'll be all right if I wait for him.
I'm not sure. You mind telling me who you are?
Sorry. Police officer. My name's Friday.
What'd the cops want Ed for?
Might be better if we talk to him.
You alone?
Anybody else in the house, ma'am?
No.
Your husband owned a 1953 dark blue Ford sedan?
Yes.
He's driving it tonight, is he?
Well, sure. He took it to work with him this morning.
All right. Might be better if I waited inside, huh?
All right. Come on in. I don't know what this is all about, but you can bet it's some kind of mistake. Ed's never had no trouble with the cops. Never. None.
Where's that door lead over here?
Bedroom.
All right, if I take a look?
Well, go ahead. You ain't going to find anything.
Is that over there, the bathroom?
Yeah.
All right, just the one bedroom?
No need for any more. Me and Ed don't have any children.
Kitchen this way?
Yeah. Say, if you're looking for something, maybe if you'll tell me what it is, I can help you.
You just want to check the house, ma'am. This all the rest of the house?
I told you we don't need any more room.
I see. Just unlocking your back door, ma'am. My partner's out there. All right, Frank.
Is he here?
No.
Who is this? Another cop?
This is my partner, Frank Smith, Miss Barnes.
Hello.
Seems to me you should be able to tell me what this is all about, Mr. Friday.
Can you give us a description of your husband?
Why?
It might help us to get him out of trouble, maybe.
He's in no trouble. You got something on your back and you're trying to dump it on Ed and it isn't going to work.
You want to give us a description?
What do you want to know?
How tall is your husband?
6'3".
How old?
32.
What color is his hair?
Kind of sandy. Look, what is this, a third degree? What are you trying to prove with all these questions?
We just want to get at the truth, ma'am.
It's a kind of hard way to do it, if you ask me.
Well, I'm sorry for causing you any trouble.
You are.
Where does your husband work?
He's a salesman.
Who for, ma'am?
Insurance company downtown.
Usually work this late?
No, I told you that.
But you think he's at work tonight?
Yes.
Well, and you wouldn't mind if we called him, would you?
I'm not going to have you causing him any embarrassment.
Well, don't worry about it, Ms. Vargas. Would you like to give us the number?
It's in the phone book. Look under emergency numbers.
You want to make a call, Frank?
Yeah, I'll do.
Look, what do you think he's done?
Police business, ma'am.
I'm his wife. I got a right to know.
It'll be better if we talk to him, I think.
That's what you say.
Your husband ever been in trouble with the police before?
Not that I know of.
How long you lived here?
You mean in California?
That's right.
I was born here.
How about your husband?
He's been here a couple of years.
Where's he from?
New York State.
Where in New York State?
A little place right outside of Utica.
You ever been in trouble back there, would you know?
Well, if he was, he didn't say anything to me about it.
How long has he had the job?
Since the week after he came out. Ed's a smart guy. He'd have no trouble getting work.
How about it?
I talked to the building superintendent.
Yeah.
He says Vargas left at 5:30 this afternoon.
The description of the owner of the car used in the holdup, coupled with his absence, made him a prime suspect in the robbery. We continued to talk to his wife. She gave us some of the background on Vargas. She told us that they'd only been married a little over a year, and that they were still trying to pay off the debts that her husband had incurred before their marriage. She went on to say that in the last few days, he'd been depressed about their finances, and that on that morning, Vargas had said he'd figured a way out for them. Frank called the office and the broadcast was gotten out asking if the man be picked up and detained for questioning. 1:15 a.m. We asked Mrs. Vargas about her husband's friends.
Isn't anyone Ed's real close to?
Well, is there one man he's with more than the others, would you know? Maybe somebody he works with.
No. Unless maybe it's Vic. Ed don't have much to do with him, though. He knows I don't care for him. Don't like to have him around.
Who's that, man?
Vic Noble. He works in the same office as Ed.
And what's he look like?
Oh, not much. Little guy, kind of nondescript. Never did figure out he could be a good salesman. I'd never buy anything from him. Honestly, he makes me nervous just to have him around.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, go right ahead. If it's your husband, it might be better if you didn't tell him we were here.
All right. Hello? Yeah, honey, where you been? What? Well, do you know when? Uh-huh. Well, did you call the police? Well, you should have called them right away. Yeah. No, I'll drive right down and pick you up. You wait right there. Uh-huh. Well, right away. That's right. Well, look, tell me where it is. Oh, yeah, I know. Turn left, yeah. All right, I'll find it. You wait right there, will you? All right, goodbye. Bye. That was Ed.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find yourself another boy.
Ma'am.
Well, whatever this is, it has something to do with Ed's car, doesn't it?
That's right.
And then you're all wrong about Ed. He couldn't have had anything to do with it.
What do you mean?
Ed's car was stolen tonight.
We got the address of the bar where Ed Vargas had called from. Frank and I drove down and talked to him. He told us that he'd left work and stopped in the bar for a couple of drinks before he went home. However, when he left the place, he'd found that his car was gone. He returned to the bar and spent the next several hours trying to figure out what to do. We talked to the bartender and he verified Vargas' statement that he'd been in the place all evening. He was released from custody and allowed to return home. Frank and I continued to talk to the bartender.
Got to get ready to close up pretty quick.
Just a couple more questions.
Will you mind if I clean up the back bar while we talk?
No, sir. Go right ahead.
Thanks. Well, what do you want to know?
You told us that Vargas came in about 5:45. Is that right?
As I can remember, yeah. Give or take a couple of minutes on either side.
But he was here before 7.
For sure.
Did he meet anybody here?
How far is this going to go?
What do you mean?
Is his wife going to find out if I tell you?
Not from us.
Well, Ed and the missus haven't been getting along so good lately. You know, been beefing a lot.
Yeah.
Ed's a funny guy. He don't like no trouble at home. As soon as Sarah started giving him problems, he found another girl, a kid that works in his office. They usually drop in here for a couple of drinks before he goes home.
Yeah?
Nothing serious going on with them, just they like to sit and talk. Ed's all the time telling her how this wife doesn't understand him. Old line, but I think he means it.
He was in here with a girl tonight, was he?
Yeah. Just like all week. Every night, they come in about a quarter to five, sit in the back booth, have a couple of martinis, and then they leave. I think maybe Ed drops her off on the way home. She don't have a car.
Yeah.
Tonight, they had more than just a couple of drinks. I think maybe there was something wrong. You know, a little problem?
What about?
Look, people come in here to relax. They all got something on their minds. I make it a practice not to eavesdrop or interfere.
What was their problem, do you know?
Sarah won't hear it?
No, we told you before.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't want her to come around here causing no beef. She's jealous, you know, real jealous.
That's all?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Ed must have told the girl that he was thinking of leaving his wife, because tonight she told him to do something about her or she was walking out. Had a little kind of tiff, and then she left. After that, he went out to get the car and found it had been stolen.
Where'd he leave it, do you know?
A lot behind the building.
Did he leave the keys in the car?
I don't know. You saw him when he left, carrying a big load. He don't remember. Probably did, though.
You have anybody else in here tonight that looked like Vargas?
What do you mean?
Well, as tall as he was, maybe.
A lot of tall people come in here.
Yes, we understand. But were there any tonight?
A couple, yeah.
Any of them come in with a short fellow, about 5, 6, or 7?
Yeah.
What time did they come in?
Oh, about a little after 7.
When did they leave?
Well, I don't know. Maybe 7:30, 7:15. I'm not sure. There's one of the tables back there. I served them a couple of times. Didn't take much notice when they left. They paid for the drinks when I brought them. Left a half a buck tip. Took off.
They come in here regular, do they?
Yeah, a couple times a week, maybe more.
They usually together?
Oh, I've never seen them any other way except once. I'd rather not remember that time.
What do you mean?
Came in here early. Spent the whole night here boozing. Got pretty plastered. I had to take Nick home. He couldn't make it alone.
Which one is Nick?
The short one, little guy.
What's he do for a living?
Nothing I ever heard of.
Well, how's he live?
Any way he can. Always seems to have dough. I think maybe some kind of gambler, something like that. Always loaded. The way he looks, though, you'd think he was some kind of mechanic, but he's not.
Is that right?
Sure, he dresses nice, always got a good suit on, but he doesn't know how to carry it off.
What do you mean?
His fingernails. I don't think he ever cleans them.
We got complete descriptions of the two men. They matched those of the thieves perfectly. The bartender closed the place and took us down the street to a hotel where he said he'd taken Nick Roxford. We talked to the desk clerk, but we found that Roxford had moved several months before. By checking with some of the people in the hotel, we got a forwarding address for him. It was a cheap rooming house down on South Pico. Frank and I went by the city hall and ran the name through R&I. We found that Roxford had an arrest record for petty theft and ADW. He'd served a term in the county jail and was at present under the jurisdiction of the court. His mugshot was pulled and taken out to the witnesses for identification. We checked with the manager of the boarding house, and we found that Roxford and a Henry Larson were registered in one of the rooms. In the company of the manager, we went up to the room, but the pair wasn't in. We contacted the office and told them where we were. They told us that Roxford had been positively identified as one of the holdup men. We settled down to wait for the suspects to come back. 3:30 a.m. 4. 5. 5:15 a.m.
Sounds like somebody's coming.
Well, there wasn't no other way. You was there, didn't see you doing nothing to stop it. You shot the cop.
I still think so.
All right, hold it right there.
What are you doing here?
Police officers, you're under arrest.
Watch it, Frank!
Yeah, they did.
All right, come on.
Get up. Come on. Get on your feet.
Let us take them downtown.
Yeah. I better check the cuffs. Don't want them too tight.
No, you might hurt them, huh? Two suspects were taken downtown to the interrogation room. Henry Larson was handcuffed to the chair in robbery while Frank and I talked to Nick Roxford.
It's a bad beef. I know it. You guys are going to find out.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Ain't gonna tie no robbery rap to me.
Look, we've already done it. The witnesses gave us a positive identification on you.
How could they? They never seen me.
We got a picture of you. It's pretty good.
You want to tell us about it?
I got nothing to say. I want a lawyer. I ain't gonna talk till I see a lawyer.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you know the old man died?
I don't know nothing about no old man.
His wife says you're the one who stabbed him.
She's crazy.
She's willing to take it to court.
It'll never stick.
We think it will.
We think we can make you for first degree.
What about Hank?
Who, Larson?
Yeah, what happens to him?
Same charge.
He know it yet?
No, you're the first one to hear.
What if I give you a hand?
How do you mean that?
Well, suppose I tell you it was Hank's idea, the whole thing. Go any better with me?
You know we don't decide that.
Well, it seems like if I helped you, you'd be better with me.
All right, you want to tell us about it?
I'll make you a deal.
No deals.
Look, just promise me you won't tell Hank if I give you the real story, huh?
All right, go ahead.
Well, the whole thing was his idea right from the start. He cased the store. The whole thing was his idea.
What about the car?
Well, that was Hank's, too. He spotted it, said it'd make a good deal. You check the car, you'll find his prints all over it.
All right, what happened after that at the store?
Well, it was Hank again. I didn't want no part of it. Hank made me. Said if I backed out, he'd get me. He's a big man. He gets mean when he's crossed. I wasn't about to give him no trouble.
Go ahead.
Well, we got to the place, and he made me go in. He made me take a piece of the action.
Now, wait a minute. Let's back up here and get this straight. You trying to tell me all the time you wanted no part of it?
No. No, you got to believe it.
Well, the way we got it, you were having a time with a knife.
Well, I got scared. That's all. I got scared. I didn't know what I was doing.
Sure you did.
Look, you got to believe me. I'm telling the truth. It was all Hank's idea, the whole thing. I want no part of it. Never did.
All right, just keep your voice down, will you?
I told you. Now, you know about the whole thing. You won't tell Hank, will you?
What difference does it make?
If he finds out I told you, he'll kill me.
Remember I asked you before?
Huh?
What difference does it make?
Henry Taylor Larson and Nicholas John Roxford were tried and convicted of murder in the first degree. On recommendation of the jury, they received maximum sentence and were executed in the lethal gas chamber at the state penitentiary, San Quentin, California.
Dragnet is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Thanks for joining us at 1001 Radio Days, your home for the best of Golden Age radio, when radio was king. If you enjoyed tonight's show, please do take a moment and send us a review. We always appreciate reviews, and they help new listeners find us. Until next time, this is your host, John Hagedorn. Stay safe, and we'll be back soon at 1001 Radio Days. And one note, don't forget to pick up 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. That's 1001 Radio Crime Solvers. This is your host, John Hagedorn, and we'll be back soon.